Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 8, Episode 4 of Das Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For November 30th, 2017, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Action Jackson, more like Inaction Jack's Dumb. Really gotta start paying the guy who writes my AKAs more. And I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Yes, that's right, it's your boy, Fill In AKA here, because somebody hit me with some AKAs on Twitter, and maybe I'll use one. But also, shout out to people who've been so kind to us on Instagram, like Jordan O'Neill, Ninjosh. I see you guys out there. Thank you for your kind words. I think there's another guy named Alexander from Australia. Yo, so glad we're international.
Keep
so
listening,
glad.
Keep telling your friends, your countrymen about our show.
Countrywomen.
It's implied, Miles. Come on.
Okay. Well, see, patriarchy is alive in here.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian and writer, Biniam Bazuna.
Hello. What's up,
man?
Oh, man. I'm doing so good. Thank you for giving me all these nuts and LaCroix.
Yeah.
I feel so at home.
Thank you so much. And that was kind of out of context. Check out my IG story, and you will know what he is talking about.
Yeah. I'm talking about planter's nuts.
Planter's nuts.
Just for people who don't know, this man consumed so many nuts and nut products. He has a Nature Valley peanut butter bar. I think he had 2 bags of peanuts, a bag of cashews, and 3 LaCroix. Your metabolism must be crazy.
Put away.
Man, I have to keep eating or I'll die. It's a crazy, weird thing.
I hear that's a problem with most people. That damn eating.
I'm addicted.
Yeah.
3 times a day. It's crazy.
What's something from your search history that is revealing about who you are as a human being?
Okay, so I'm someone that likes to believe in the unknown and, you know, things that people might think are a little more out there. And I'm super obsessed with Elon Musk right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how he has that whole thing where he's like, the chances that we're not living in a simulation are 1 billion to 1.
Right.
And he's supposedly like one of the smartest people in the world. And his whole thing was like, if you look at video games from like 1980, they all look like block graphics and they suck. And then if you look at video games today, they look like way better and closer to reality. So if we assume any rate of improvement, eventually the graphics are going to look indistinguishable from reality. And what we're betting on is that if this has happened even once, then that means that they've created a simulation of this. And so he says that the chances that this is not a simulation and this has not happened before are 1 billion to 1.
Wow. Oh, man, you dropped your tinfoil hat over there.
So I'm constantly looking for, like, little glitches, you know, maybe this is a simulation. Okay, so
it's an interesting thought. It's also interesting because if you think about, like, they're going to eventually be able to figure out how, you know, how you can dream, like the movie Inception talks about this, but you can dream like a 3-hour adventure in like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like they're going to figure that shit out once they like figure the mind out. Like they don't know shit about the mind.
Oh, for sure. So basically I'm always looking for little glitch things. And so I was kind of half watching this football game over the break. And it was like, I want to say Lions versus Vikings. Okay.
Yeah.
And I was making stuffing as this was happening. And I kept hearing them say Golden State. Golden State's doing pretty good. Look at Golden State. And I was like, what the fuck? I know Golden State is a basketball team. This is crazy. So I'm like, I asked my brother, I'm like, you hear this? They're saying Golden State. This is crazy. And he's like, oh no, there's a player named Golden Tate that plays for the Lions. So I looked him up and he exists. And I'm like, well, I still think it's a simulation.
I guess Elon Musk was wrong based off this one.
It does seem like a name that someone made up after like watching a Warriors game, being like, oh yeah, that's the wide receiver Golden Tate.
If he's from the Bay Area, you know that's the thing. You're like, you know, you could name your kid if your last name's Tate.
Right.
He'd be Golden Tate.
Oh no, his name, that's not Indianapolis Colt, that's Indianapolis Skolt.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a great baseball player. Yeah.
It's a guy from India Skolt. And Naples, Italy. Indianapolis and Skolt.
Right.
That's a very deep cut.
All right, what's something you think is overrated, or some things?
Okay, so I think In-N-Out is overrated. Okay. People are going to call blasphemy on this.
No, you're not the first person to say this.
Really? Okay, no. See, so I came from Indiana, and when I moved here, everyone's like, oh, you got to get In-N-Out. In-N-Out's amazing. It's the best. I went and tried it. I was like, this is very comparable to McDonald's. Like, this is like the same shit. It's like... Like, I think you add a little bit of, in your mind, you're like, oh, it's healthy and they know where the meat's coming from. And so that's added going in mentally. So then you imagine that it's like so much better. But I haven't had McDonald's in a long time, but from what I remember, it was like the same. Like,
then you have not had McDonald's in a long time.
It's these thin patties.
Right.
It's like, whatever. It's fine. It's fine.
The burgers themselves in In-N-Out. So In-N-Out has fresh like lettuce and tomato and all the stuff, the fish.
Onions or grilled onions or chopped chilies.
That's
if
all
you want
great.
Them.
And they have an advantage that they're in California where all the produce is super fresh, grown like right down the highway. But the burgers themselves don't taste any different to me from other fast food hamburgers.
Mm.
Whereas like Shake Shack, you taste their hamburgers.
Yes.
Their hamburgers are fucking amazing.
Shake Shack.
The meat itself is incredible.
Even Five Guys, way better,
yeah.
I think.
Five Guys is good. No, not to say that In-N-Out is the best burger. Of the things that are called like shit with a drive-thru, In-N-Out is better than McDonald's. It's better than Wendy's.
The meat itself, you think the meat tastes better than
Meat? I think meat tastes better because I know that they salt the shit out of it, which is what their secret is when people are like, oh my God, it's so good. It's just because you're eating so much salt, fam. Like, it's not because they're using like Kobe beef.
Right.
They're just salting it. But again, I don't know. Say that it's like similar to McDonald's, again, as a Valley boy, 818 proud native, I'm a little triggered by that. But again, these are everyone's opinions. You're the guest on the show, and how dare you come on the show and talk
Miles
spicy.
Just took his shirt off.
I would love to do like one of those like commercial fake taste test things where they're like, "You've been eating McDonald's this whole time.
Right.
You thought it was In-N-Out," because I don't think I'd be able to tell.
I think that's
what would happen.
I think that maybe that's a future episode. It would be the great transplant comedian blind taste test of hamburgers.
Yeah.
We'll get a Shake Shack. We'll get a Five Guys.
Wendy's will be able to tell because it's square.
Right.
Well, it'll be blind. It'll be blind.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And one of them will feed somebody shit. Stay tuned.
What's something you think's underrated?
Okay, so this show is super popular now, so I think that...
Thank you so much.
Most people know about it. Riverdale.
Oh. I thought you were talking about the other
Zeitgeist. Oh, I mean, I don't know.
Anyway, I'm sorry. What were you saying, my man?
This show might be popular. I don't know what your iTunes
This show is mad
are.
Popular. I mean, people in Australia know about it.
But this show on the CW, Riverdale, which is a reimagining of Archie comics as a dark, edgy murder mystery thing.
Right.
So when I first heard about it, I saw the trailer and I was like, they turned Archie into Pretty Little Liars. Fuck this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I am not watching this. They didn't even have a shot of Jughead eating food. They don't know anything. Archie isn't hot. Fucking, he's supposed to be awkward and fuck that. You know,
exactly,
like I was thinking all this. And, because I was a huge Archie fan growing up. I was like,
you were?
Yeah.
How old are you, 70?
No, like at the store. They still sell them next to
the
candy.
I know, but I always look at them like, yo, this is the wackest thing.
I was a corny kid,
right?
All right?
Okay, I was into Marvel.
I didn't even know anything about Marvel. I wish I knew.
You're
about
like, it. I only knew about Jughead and Veronica.
Exactly. I would be like at the checkout line and, you know, it's next to the candy. I wouldn't be like, can I get Reese? I'd be like, Mom, let me get that new Jughead digest.
Oh, wow.
I was like reading them and like saying like things like that in school. I'd be like, oh, brother. Oh, man. Sheesh. You know, like just based off reading Archie. I was an Archie
Sheesh.
Head.
Sheesh.
So I was very, I felt like this was a bad reimagining. I felt like this was like Last Airbender level of bad adaptation.
Right.
You know, like the
right,
shit.
Right, right.
Like,
yeah.
And then I watched it and I was like, wow, they did a good job. This is like a good murder mystery thing. Like, take away the Archie stuff is just kind of like flavoring. It doesn't really have anything to do with the story, but it's good. So I highly recommend it. Even if you've been, like me, an Archie head who was resistant.
Yeah, and it's out there. People know about it, but you're the first, like, smart person I've heard who's into it, so.
Because all we talk about is, like, the problematic, like, parent-teacher-student relationships. Like, what was the one where, like, who is she getting with? The teacher was getting with
Ms.
one of the
Grundy's
kids.
Getting with
and then they're like,
Archie in it.
Yeah, and, like, the solution was just like, well, you should leave town.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, not like, hey, we're going to call the police because you have sex with a minor. Like, hey, you should leave town.
That's right. Wait, did you watch it?
My girlfriend watches it, and when I saw that, I was like, that was like the one moment I saw, I'm like, this is how we're solving, like, we talked about this in an early episode too. It's like this weird thing of like, we're still being cool with like teachers fucking the students in TV shows.
I think it would be different if it was a dude teacher with a 16-year-old
right,
girl.
Sure.
Cause then it would be like, bruh, you know?
Right.
But
right,
since
right.
it's a girl. And
apparently not, yeah. though, because in our previous episode, one of our contributors, Taylor Ortega, called in and had a whole laundry list of all these shows where like, grown adult male teachers had sex with
right.
like Dang. Their high school student
yeah.
and
they're
people
like,
were just like you get out of here mister
like,
you
yeah.
see
episode 36 Seinfeld it was
yeah.
huge
right, right. yeah so and actually Taylor apparently watches it she's one of the smartest people I know and your girlfriend's one of the smartest people I know so apparently Riverdale is like the new War and Peace it's smart
is it because it's smart or just good entertainment
well see you guys are making a lot of assumptions that I'm smart I'm dumb as hell okay I just want to let everyone
okay.
know
but you write you've written
well, you
for
came
TV
in,
shows
yeah.
you're not a
I just think it's like it is not like watching what's like a smart show fucking would people consider
the Today Show House of Cards
I guess it's gone now
yeah I'm just making up
like,
problematic people like Black Mirror
yeah like yeah, or yeah, like yeah. like Black Mirror like I like Ozark that's like a
yeah,
good
yeah.
show to watch it doesn't it's not intellectually smart but it is like brand it's just candy kind
yeah
of.
Yeah
it's like
it's when
fun.
Scandal used to be good
yeah yeah
right.
it's a soap opera kind of with like better production value
yeah. I used to be this way with Gossip Girl.
Yeah,
I
it's really like that, I'm Gossip sure. Also, other thing, Jaden Smith's music. Everyone sleeps on Jaden because he's Jaden Smith. But and they're all like, oh, you're fucking weird with your Twitter and all this shit. But the new album he just put out, it's called Sire.
Yes.
You listen?
Yes.
It's great.
I like it.
I really like it. I like what he's doing. Is it perfect? No, but there's like so much good in it. And it's very interesting.
The second I heard Fallen, like last year,
yeah.
I was like, what the fuck? This
yeah.
is Jaden Smith.
Yeah.
And the production was really good. And like, I wasn't really mad at his like off key singing either.
yeah.
And he's like I'm not mad at Jaden Smith.
I mean, he has a music video where it's him and he's like stunting in front of a Tesla and his whole thing is about like saving the earth and whatnot. And it's like, it's so different. No one
yeah.
else is doing that.
He's talking about saving the earth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why you go to like, he's got his own water he's trying to push
yeah.
now. That's like,
yeah.
has zero environmental impact.
I mean, bring it back to Elon Musk. He said in an interview recently, like, I want people to see me as Elon Musk. I want to be like that, where it's like, oh, this dude's always up to something.
Like a guy who's in a bunch of failed marriages?
yeah. Like a guy who's in a bunch of failed marriages, but also making us go to Mars at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, hey, no one's perfect. No one's
bad.
No one's batting 1,000.
Yeah. So I highly recommend it. Sire, Syre. And then also my last one, comedian Fahim Anwar. He is the funniest person that you may not have heard of. He's hilarious. His special, I don't know if you can still watch it because CISO is gone now. But
R.I.P.
But maybe you can still watch it on Hulu. Search Fahim Anwar. You can? You can watch it on Amazon Prime. Search it. It's called There's no business like show business. Anna Hosnier over here killing it with it. Did I say your last name right?
Hosnier.
Hosnier. Anna Hosnier.
Anna Hosnier.
Really killing it. Yeah, but and just watch his clips on fucking the Laugh Factory. Just search Fahim Anwar. He's like the funniest dude out to me.
We're trying to get him on the show, aren't we?
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah, you guys will Fahim, if you're listening directly from him.
We are trying to get you on the show.
Also, he's got this sketch group called Goatface, which is Hasan Minhaj, Asif Ali, and Aristotle Thyrus, and they're all like blown up in their own way right now, but they started off doing these sketches, and they're great, and they have a YouTube channel, so watch that too.
Awesome. All right, let's get into format. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world, whether we're looking or not. We talk about politics and the president and news, but we also talk about movies and supermarket tabloids. So we're trying to take the temperature of what's sort of out there affecting the national shared consciousness. We like to open up by asking our guest if there's any like media myth or just zeitgeist myth that based on their personal experience, they can debunk for us.
This is a myth that everyone thinks is true. It's in the media. It's on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hurtful. A lot of people say black guys have big dicks and it is not true. Like my dick is extremely small. It's a mini dick. It's one of those.
Well, we talked about this before. The medical term is micro penis.
It's a micro penis. Yes. Mm-hmm. And, I've met many black men who also have them. I think actually black men have created the myth of the big black penis because there's so many of us who have micro penises.
Really?
Damn.
And, it's very hurtful to have these kind of assumptions put on me every time I'm in a sexual situation, you know?
And I'm half black and half Japanese, and I'm dealing with two stereotypes simultaneously.
Right. That are on both sides of the spectrum.
And really, I just have a small penis.
Yeah.
Because the reality is black men have small penises, and the reality, Asian guys have huge penises, but I just didn't get lucky in that situation.
Right. All right, let's get into the stories of the day. Yeah, I've got to say that, I mean, we try and talk about movies, pop culture, but news right now is just overwhelming. Like, there's just so much news coming at us. I was driving in today. I passed a billboard for HBO's The Night of Too Many Stars, which happened like a week and a half ago. And it was advertising that Louis C.K. was going to be on the show. And like, that seems like a lifetime ago that dude was like relevant enough for there to be an advertisement that was like, hey, watch this show with Jon Stewart and Louis C.K. That was like 13 sex crims ago. We're on to fucking Garrison Keillor. The president tweeted three videos yesterday that I honestly think are going to go down in history when they look back and like historians are like, yo, how did you not like, okay, yes, he was like couching things in different levels of, you know, innuendo, but how did you not see it coming after he tweeted straight up propaganda? The rest of the world outside of America is reacting to those tweets, like, you know, they are the dangerous thing that they are. By the way, he tweeted like a video of a brown haired kid beating up a blonde haired kid and said it was a
migrant beating up a European Dutch boy.
A Muslim immigrant, beating up a Dutch boy, and it was actually just a brown-haired Dutch boy beating up a blonde-haired Dutch boy. But then there was a Muslim dude, like, desecrating a statue of the Virgin Mary, and then in a war zone, some soldiers beating a teenager to death. And they had originally been tweeted by a, like, legit hate group from the UK. They, like, go into mosques and like rip people's like head coverings off. And, you know, it's like they're like our neo-Nazis, but a little scarier because they have that like dead-eyed like Jesus thing going.
And one of their deputies, this woman, she went to jail for basically like a hate crime because she like got in this Muslim person's face with like a cross and was like screaming all this shit. And now she's like appealing to Donald Trump to be like, help me because you get it.
Right.
So like these people are, like we're basically what we can say we've crossed the Rubicon into fascism.
I think the craziest part about it was the response from the White House where like Sarah Huckabee Sanders was like, hey, we don't even know if the videos are real, but the threat is real.
Right.
It's like,
and what's the threat?
Yeah.
It's like, can you articulate that?
That's like if they tweet, like Donald retweeted some like UFO videos. He's like, hey, I don't know if these are CGI, but like there's probably some aliens out there. So like, come on.
But take this as fact because the threat is real.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's, I think, again, a lot of people were, you know, as they should be, upset. Like, the UK is like, yo, we don't want you here at all, and completely deteriorating that very important relationship we have. And when the president is, again, tweeting out straight-up propaganda, like, that is in line with, like, these fascist groups, I mean, how are we not able to say, like, we are – that's where the path is going?
Yeah, there's, like – and we were all focused on Matt Lauer yesterday because, I mean, that's a fucking crazy story. But just to go back to the president's tweets, like – you know, the people who it's clear and present how big a deal those tweets are, you know, people from outside of the country who aren't like being just blasted with this fire hose of news and people who like lived through Nazi Germany. Jonah Friedman tweeted repeated warnings from my 98-year-old grandma, a Nazi Germany survivor. Chill me. She says it all started this way with one weird, unsettling development after another until they were past the point of no return. Yeah, so those are the people who are like, yo, this is bad. But again, we just were buried by Matt Lauer having a Mr. Burns button under his desk.
Well, right? What you were saying, though, just a second ago about how, like, you think that will go down in history as what will be remembered. It's so hard to know what the what history is going to remember. Wouldn't it be so crazy if the tweet that gets remembered is a LeVar Ball one?
Ungrateful.
Unbelievable.
He started a war with the now billion-dollar corporation Big Baller Brand.
Right.
Or like,
and this is when, yeah, it's all told through the guise of like, this is when the great LeVar Ball, you know, came to us. And
that was the day America became Baldonia.
Right. So there, it's a lot. And just that's kind of the point of what I wanted to say up top is like the whole news cycle is a lot. We're trying to keep up. We're trying to keep pace. We got more sex crimes piling up. Russell Simmons now is, you know, officially problematic.
Let's ask the question about the Matt Lauer thing. There's the button under the desk, which locks the door. Is there any possible explanation other than this is to protect himself when he's trying to like come on to women, assault women, whatever?
Like it could be like, yeah, he likes to lock the door so he can get work done. But yeah, it's like, you know, without just stand up and
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by that, like, he means masturbating in his office. Right.
And also, like, what was that request like to NBC?
Right. To the facilities department, where you're like, Matt would like a remote lock installed under his desk that will like set off a pneumatic bolt on his door.
Buttons under desks are never not evil. Like,
oh, yeah,
there's
no.
Always evil going on.
Unless you're like a bank teller and it's like a help me button.
What was missing, I think, from his apology was not explaining the button under the desk.
And yes, I had a Mr. Burns button under my desk, but
Everyone had one.
Right.
There's there's still so many stories, right? Okay, so taxes, please, you know, who knows what's going to happen with that. It's still a long fight, but it's not looking good. What else have we not covered? Oh, Kellyanne Conway is now going to be spearheading the White House's operation to fight opioids. I'm sorry, what? This woman has no background in drug anything.
When she was asked how to address the opioid situation, she said, four letters, will.
Oh, we've never
willpower.
Heard of that one.
Yeah, just use willpower.
Yeah, she said drug that like addicts. Earlier on in the year. Not to say that's her official stance now, but that's a very dangerous mindset to be in if you are in charge of like trying to curb an addiction epidemic in this country.
Hey, hey, drug dealers. Hey, drug doers. Stop.
Just stop.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, exactly.
Solved. What else? Okay, done. So along with the sex crimes, Joe Barton from Texas, he's not going to run for re-election because his dick pics came out. That's another one.
Al Franken, another accuser, which the Al Franken thing, of course, like his defense of grabbing an ass was, well, I take a lot of pictures of people. I didn't remember that one. So grabbing an ass was not remarkable or like strange or regrettable enough behavior to register as a memory. Like,
yeah.
Of course he's got like so many accusers coming forward. I feel like we could honestly just like fade out as we're talking about the news because it's just like that there's so much shit to keep up with.
And like, lastly, I think the one thing we have to talk about is just the slave trade that is happening in Libya still, which is like another huge problem, like where there's literal slaves being traded, West African slaves being traded in Libya because since Gaddafi went down, there's been real no government structure. And a lot of migrant workers from West Africa, they travel through Libya to try and get to Europe. And it's a very complicated issue where the European Union wants to have these people detained before they're able to get there, which is what's causing this detention of people. And then some are being sold into slavery. it's a very big issue as well that, you know, people need to be aware of, because again, it's so easy to lose track of this when we have to talk about President Hitler ass Trump trying to, you know, co-sign the Britain First movement and all the, these other things. So
in a good piece of news, the guy who said Hitler was chill got fired from his job.
Yeah, so that was good. Yeah,
oh, the guy from the New York Times profile.
This is a related Hitler news, but it's personal news. Like, I saw this. So I was getting back from visiting my brother's family like 2 days ago in LAX, and I was coming down the place where you go to baggage claim, and they had this big Daddy's Home 2 thing like everywhere, and it was like, more daddies, more problems, Daddy's Home 2. And then they get to the part where it's the pictures of all the four actors, and on the Mel Gibson, someone drew a Hitler mustache.
Nice.
Oh, hell yeah.
It was right. Hilarious.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
And we're back. So speaking of none of that, you know, there's so much news. We wanted to take a step back and just kind of look at the fabric of our sort of existence in the modern media environment. And, you know, Facebook is one of the main ways that we experience reality these days. I mean, that's never been the case for me because you know, I was running cracked when Facebook became a thing. And so Facebook was always just work for me. It was just like how we distributed our content. But by the end of running cracked, you know, Facebook was the way that we distributed our content. It was just like that. We got more traffic from Facebook than, you know, anywhere else. It was like, that's how people existed. And I've read a profile of the 2016 election that just explains, you know, how negligent Facebook was and just how incredibly powerful the, you know, structure of Facebook being able to like put everybody in their own sort of curated, algorithmically curated, not like hand curated, you know, media bubble just made it possible for, you know, this election to happen and for, you know, the country to grow further and further apart until we are where we are. So, you know, people have been talking a lot about how to fix this. Like, how do we address this? Because Facebook is, at this point, probably the most powerful entity maybe...
On Earth?
On Earth, maybe in the history of Earth. I don't know. It's... They determine so much. And I mean, we had our writer, Sam Raubman, take a kind of deep dive into this. And he brought out some really good points from, you know, other journalists. But he was, you know, saying it's inseparable from our lives. And at this point, it's kind of insane to have the control over something that is basically how people experience their lives, like all around the world, even though a lot of young people and probably a lot of our listeners maybe are like, oh, Facebook's old and like we don't pay attention. We don't use Facebook anymore. We use Instagram. Like on a global scale, Facebook is how people experience the world. And it is being controlled by a guy who developed it out of an app to rate how hot girls were his freshman year at Harvard. Like that's
right.
He just, you know, it's he's obviously very bright and knows how to, you know, do programming and shit like that. But like he also is now one of the most powerful people in the history of the world. And, you know, his skill set does not in any way prepare him to do that.
No. Yeah. Cause again, it was like a way to connect, a way to get familiar. And that at first that was like the golden era. I feel like at Facebook, it's like, wow, I found people from my old elementary school that live across the country now.
Right.
And yeah, over time, like not even the guy who wanted to just make his creepy app from his dorm room could have realized that we have now really grown, not like dependent on it, in some ways dependent on it, at least to communicate in some ways. But it, again, yeah, it's much bigger than I think even he could have imagined at this point. And now we're in that place where like, what do we do?
Well, yeah, it's getting to the level of, have you guys read that Ready Player One book that's being made into a movie?
I haven't read it, no.
But it's all about how like eventually there will be this thing that's like, it's your Facebook, it's the way you sign up, it's the way you vote, it's like everything, and it's an online portal, but it's also VR. And now that Facebook owns like Oculus, it's going to turn into that where it's just like, you fucking put on your Oculus and then you're in Facebook land and you just, like,
right.
You do everything there. You send letters, you do your email, and that's, it's getting to that point.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Especially too, cause now like they're even developing stuff for like when disasters happen, like it can immediately like just sort of connect people in those areas. Like, yeah, there's infrastructure there that we do depend on.
Right. And I mean, I think what we've seen at this point from the last year, at least, is that we cannot count on these companies to change on their own. I think that was the idea before, is we were naive as fuck, but we took like Google being like, oh, our philosophy is do no evil. And we were like, cool, Google's
great.
Cool, guys.
Yeah.
We can just like not pay attention. Google's going to be cool from now on. That's just not the case. Like, they are companies who have one legal obligation, and it is to make as much money as possible for their shareholders. That is their only legal obligation. And to make any decision that is contrary to that is actually like illegal. They're not allowed to do that. So all they are doing is trying to create something that is going to draw users in and make users, you know, give their advertisers money, essentially. They're not in it to, you know, help the democratic process. Mark Zuckerberg got so deep into claiming that, like, he had the nation's best interest at heart in the last year that people thought he was going to run for president.
Right.
It was like, yo, that would be a step down for him in terms of power if he, like, you know, to step down from Facebook to become president.
Because right now he's world god.
Right.
Have you seen this new tool that Facebook's going to offer where it will allow you to see if you got duped by fake Russian accounts?
No, that's great.
It says, Facebook says it's creating an online tool that will show you if you liked or followed fake Russian accounts spreading disinformation during the 2016 presidential election on Facebook or Instagram.
Do you think many people will use that, though? Because they'll be like, no, I wasn't stupid enough to get duped.
Right, I don't think so. Right. I don't think so. I think it's just ways for, like, Facebook's just trying to be transparent, kind of. But
yeah, but it's like,
the box
had been opened.
Yeah.
Right. And when we talk about the ways that Facebook is affecting people's lives and, you know, perceptions of reality and problems with that, it's actually not like a single thing. You know, like when I hear, you know, problem with Facebook, I immediately go to Russian bots and shit like that. But there's so many different ways that Facebook can be manipulated.
Right.
Like their advertising, I think it was ProPublica, just like bought real estate ads that were
like exclude people of color or based on race or ethnic. Like, yeah, you could, and you can, because all that information is there.
Right. So they said, we don't want this advertisement to reach Jews, people of color, mothers of high school students, which was weird, but I guess it's because high school students are gonna, you know, be loud or like stay up late. But so all of these are legally protected groups. You can't
actually
exclude them in when you're, you know, selling real estate. But Facebook was like, oops.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. Didn't realize you could use that for that.
Right. Yeah, essentially.
Or like have ads like use things like, we only want to serve our ads to literally, like, I think that was in that same study or a previous one that said they could find anyone who had Jew hater in their profile and then be like, that's who I want to talk to.
Right.
So it's kind of like, so people kind of have done this forever. Like, let's say you want to run an ad during Empire. It means you're trying to target black people between this age and this age. But if you specifically say it, that's when it's getting weird, I guess.
Well, I mean, in one sense, but I think it's when you do it for these means that are technically illegal or you're spreading a very damaging, like, you know, message by like hate ads that are looking for people who have like an anti-Semitic bias or something like that.
Right. And nobody would ever buy Facebook ads just to target black people. They would buy Facebook ads to target black people who are Arsenal fans and live in the Los Angeles area.
You like, want to get targeted.
That's why Facebook is so incredibly powerful, is you can find the people that you need to find. That they know so much about, you know, your likes and preferences. And that's also why it's so crazy. That's why, you know, nobody realized what was happening during the 2016 election, because it wasn't happening to all of us. It was happening to individuals.
Right.
And everybody was experiencing reality in their own way. So, you know, yes, the media was in their own bubble, but that's because they were existing in a reality, like a hyper reality on the internet, where they had a completely different experience from other people. And I mean, that's not to excuse it, but that is what made it possible.
Well, and yeah, when we were unaware of that too, or just how much the reality can be distorted, I mean, or differ from person to person.
This is like, you kind of had mentioned this before, where you were like, there's a lot of young people who say like, I don't use Facebook anymore. Facebook's lame or whatever. And to quote someone who's going to offer an opinion of how people don't use Facebook anymore, Chief Keef just posted this Instagram thing that I was trying to find the screenshot, but I remember it. Basically, it was someone trying to act like him on Facebook, messaging someone being like, yo, come through. And his caption was like, if anyone ever tries to come at you like this, know it ain't me. What kind of bum ass nigga I look like using Facebook in 2017? And that's like, that's what a lot of people think about it. So I'm like, in the future, is it really going to have as much power if this whole generation of people are like, we don't fuck with it?
But
they use Instagram though.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it'll just shift. I mean, we're just there. If it's not Facebook, it's Twitter. If it's not Twitter, it's Snapchat. If it's not Snapchat, it's Instagram. And even, but that's not to say that outside of maybe this small group or subset of people, there are still billions of people who use Facebook and aren't on that, who are just like, yeah, that's how I get my news. That's how I ingest information.
Mm-hmm. If you're just on Facebook and you go to a page that has a Facebook like button on it, Facebook checks that off. They know that you've been to that page. That goes into their database. They're constantly aware of you.
Yeah, without you even liking
without
it.
Without you doing anything. You don't have to like it. You just have to be on that page.
And it's like the thing of like button. if you just have it running in the background, you go to all these other websites, it tracks that too. So
well, yeah. And then again, because Instagram and Facebook are one and the same, then you also get those crazy ads when you're like, I was just talking about this shit. Yeah. Why am I getting
so
an ad for
my
it,
friend right? was just telling me about this where like I think it's I don't know if this is a thing you opt into in Facebook or it's an iTunes thing you opt into, but it's a terms of service thing that you can opt out of, but you have to like try to opt out of it. And basically it has the authorization to be listening to your microphone when you're just talking. And like, you know how everyone says that thing of like, I was just talking about this.
Right.
Like that's real, I guess.
Yeah. And I like, even if you're turning your microphone off, they are creating such a detailed profile of you just in ways that we're not aware of, even if they're not listening, like doing shit that's like bugging you. Like it's just, they have so many data sets. I heard somebody on the radio recently say that credit card companies no longer consider themselves, you know, financial lenders or whatever they used to consider themselves. They consider themselves data miners because they are just the way that they're actually making most of their money is by collecting information about your purchase habits and selling that information off.
Who buys that?
Oh,
advertisers.
It's the most valuable thing now.
Like an advertising firm, like several that are here in Los Angeles, will go to MasterCard or something and be like, can I buy this history, debit card history?
Yes.
Or an agency to figure out like, oh, like what's the most common purchase amongst like affluent millennials based on, you know, what their income is because you're their bank and you know what they're spending their money on.
I really want to know like the figures for that. Like how much does Facebook or like Visa charge to sell information? Is it by like, we want to buy black people's information? Like, is it like that? They segment it off like that? I have no idea.
Yeah. I don't know, but I know they
make a lot of their money by doing that.
Right. Yeah. I've heard Facebook does for sure.
And that's how Google makes their money as well too. Like that's what, you get Gmail for free and we sell your info. So that's the trade.
Right.
You know what? I'm not like, you know how people start doing the thing where they put the black tape over their camera and all that? Mm-hmm. I'm kind of the mind of like, they have so much on me already that if they wanted to ruin me, they could. So it's like, I don't even care anymore. I'm not trying to keep anything secret. I'm like, hey, if they decide that they want to leak my dick pics or whatever they want to do, it's over. So like, I'm just going to live open.
I think that's the way a lot of people think these days is like, you know, if I'm not doing anything so bad, if I'm not a terrorist, then, you know, it's not that dangerous. And that's kind of how I always felt. I felt like, you know, I'm right on that edge between, like, I was born in 80. So, like, I know the, like, paranoid way that people were before where they were like, you got to protect your privacy.
Right.
And I also know how, like, people who are a little bit younger than me are just like, who gives a shit? Like, fuck my privacy. Like, as long as – if it just, like, gives me ads for shit that I already like, that's great. But the fact that we're living in these mediated little, like, bubbles of existence is – it's just now dawning on me, like, how dangerous that can actually be that – and the fact that we actually can't see, like there's this Atlantic article that was like, on Facebook, the campaigns could show ads only to the people they targeted. We couldn't actually see the messages they were reaching people in battleground areas. From the outside, it was a technical impossibility to know what ads were running on Facebook, one that the company had fought to keep intact. Right?
So is the nightmare situation that somehow this information falls into the wrong hands or is used to like blackmail people? Like, is that like,
we're living in the nightmare situation because that information was used by fucking Cambridge Analytica to get Donald Trump elected, I think is, I mean, that's a strong statement, but that's sort of how
like, did they buy it from somewhere? Like they got, okay.
And it's, you're basically just getting gaslit. Because they can present you with a reality through social media targeting you, knowing like, you know, what you're more inclined to believe or what your ideology is, and begin sort of twisting your perception of what the, how the world is actually operating.
Wow.
Which you can tell like through, depending on like, you know, when you see all like with the, all the Russia stuff in the election, they were affecting physical space through the internet by, you know, agitating people who have like an anti-Muslim, anti-immigrant bias, and then people who have a pro-immigrant, pro-Islam bias or just inclusive bias, and being like, oh, well, there's going to be a rally here. Like, let's get these people fighting. Like, they're already manipulating people.
They're moving people this way, around
in physical space, yeah, through the internet, which I think can be, I think that, I mean, I guess the next nightmare scenario is like when people are like truly, there's like a catastrophic loss of life. But I mean, shit, if you're already being able to stir shit up digitally and affect physical space, I think that is a nightmare scenario.
Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't think about the Cambridge Analytica thing. That's such a good point. I saw this article. My friend sent it to me. It's a Vanity Fair article. It's called "The End of the Social Era Can't Come Soon Enough." And the basic premise is, it seems increasingly likely that our society will one day view our infatuation with Twitter, Facebook, whatever, like a passing, often destructive fad.
Yeah.
But the problem I think with this is that this was written by someone who's old enough to remember a time before we had those things, and they can envision a time without it. But I think for all these kids who grew up with this, their brains are literally wired differently. I think that, like you were saying, even if they stop using Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, there's always going to be that need for a different thing. I don't think anyone can just cold turkey not use social media.
Well, see, I mean, the guy who wrote that, Nick Bilton, he is like an expert in Twitter. And I used to actually work with him at Vanity Fair. Like, really super smart guy. But that's true. Like, even for people like me, born in the 80s, I knew I used dial-up phones. I had dial-up internet. I remember the internet was a new thing that we weren't quite sure of. And I also know how to live without it because I experienced life in an era where there was no internet. Mm-hmm. Now, can you say that that can be said for kids who are growing up now who have only known the internet, who've only known social media? Like, what?
I know a lot of young people who have tried to quit Facebook like it's a drug. And
right.
So I do think that there's at least some awareness that it is a vice, which, like, even when, you know, my younger cousins were like, yeah, I had to quit Facebook. Like, that didn't totally scan to me because, like, I hadn't been deeply involved enough to understand like why it was problematic, but
yeah, they talk about that a lot in this article. There's a lot of quotes from people who actually like worked at Twitter and Facebook who've left, who are now like, I feel guilty.
Yeah.
We were creating this as a drug because the whole thing was that it gives you this dopamine response and it's designed right. to be like that. And so they're saying they're off it and done with it, but yeah, it'd be very hard for enough people to be self-aware enough to be like, you know what, I have to back out.
No, I think it needs to come from the government because the companies aren't going to change it. The people are like, yeah. There's not going to be a big enough mass movement. I think there's going to need to be a movement like the, you know, populist progressive movement in the early 20th century against, you know, the big robber barons. That's how, like, the next generation is probably going to have to
treat the fight social networks. I mean, this comes along with like the whole like free internet, whatever type shit that's happening right now, where it was like, if you put in any sort of regulations like that, that would almost be like doing what the FCC is trying to do right now.
It's, and like, as somebody who like is kind of on that border, you know, the fact that the FCC like used to be like the big thing that they were known for in my mind before this was flipping out when Janet Jackson's nipple was exposed in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And like, that is so ridiculous that they were worried about people experiencing a nipple. But like, now, like, so they were trying to mediate people's experience, like, away from having to experience like seeing somebody's nipple. Like, now they're just letting everything. There's so many different people experiencing so many different things that are completely outside of the control of anyone, really.
Yeah. Right.
So our solution for all of this is, we don't fucking know, man. Somebody who's smarter than me needs to start working on this shit.
Some legislation, maybe.
Yeah, I guess being aware of it has at least seemed helpful for me, being aware that I'm living a completely mediated, algorithmically curated experience.
And in a way, a simulation.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Call back. I should do improv.
Back to Golden Tate.
And that's how you do a Herald.
All right, we're going to take a quick break.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. All right, so we wanted to go out on a little bit of a lighter thing.
Something light.
Hey, what's that O.J. Simpson fellow been up to since he got out of prison? Everybody was, like, following him when he got out of prison, and then he was like, come on, guys, please leave me alone. And I guess they did, because he's just been off the radar, and our writer, J.M. McNabb, decided, let me take a quick Google and see what he's been doing. And, yo, he is, like, he is out here just, you know, getting into trouble. He's been, like, banned from a couple bars for, like, just being
unruly
drunken,
in a casino.
Unruly. Yeah. Like, you know, he is not acting like he's worried about going back to prison. He also a great detail is what did he go as for Halloween?
Yeah, trick-or-treaters come to his house, they open the door, it's OJ as OJ. But pre-murder OJ. He's wearing like a OJ. Buffalo Bills jersey, and he's like, hey guys, you like my costume?
Right. Wow,
before I killed
like,
him.
Everyone's like, I don't know who you are.
Right.
Yeah, right, exactly.
These kids.
But it was wild. Like, yeah, like parents were like, oh, this is great. Like, and having like posing for pictures and stuff, like it's crazy.
People
of
fame
horse. It's really true, like, you know, OJ really, I don't even know. I don't even get it. Like, he transcends the law. He transcends race. People just, like, forget, I guess, because he was a Naked Gun and, like, did, like, a Hertz commercial. Like, they're like, oh, this guy's great.
I honestly think people are like that. Like, especially with our era now of, like, Instagram likes being currency. It's like, even if you hate someone and they're the worst, like, if someone saw
Hitler, get some likes.
If you saw Hitler, you would get a selfie with Hitler. People would do that.
Right.
And like, I think that's always been the case. I mean, that was one of the great things about that.
About Hitler?
about that.
He was always down for a selfie.
That Hitler guy, he was more moderate than people give credit for. No, some of those OJ documentaries, just seeing the people as he's like on the, like driving around during the Bronco chase.
Right.
Like with the signs being like, go OJ, go. Like, because he's famous and that's all they gave a shit about. And so like they didn't care that he was, basically coming out, admitting his guilt at having like nearly beheaded someone. So what else is going on? He's out here signing memorabilia.
Like, and Fred Goldman is not happy about that because OJ owes quite a bit of money to that family, because of the death of Ron Goldman,
the wrongful death suit. The one place he was found guilty. That there is some justice in that. You know, he was found guilty of wrongful death. And has been needing to pay Ron Goldman's family ever since.
That's so weird. I knew about this, but I didn't know what would happened afterwards. So he got found guilty of wrongful death and just had to pay money, no jail time?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
What is wrongful death?
It's a civil suit. It's the difference between being, you know, the state coming at you and being like, we're going to lock you up, and then
a person
being like, hey, you killed someone.
So it's basically
who I love.
The highest level of Judge Judy.
Right, exactly.
And level 100.
Like, and they were like, you have to pay this dude until you're no longer here, essentially. And so that's, you know, he went to prison for, you know, fucking with people over memorabilia, which I think he had to sell to pay people. And like he can sell memorabilia and autographs for cash. Yeah. And so Ron Goldman's father is like, yeah, you owe me money. Like, you shouldn't be able to be living this like lavish lifestyle.
And it's crazy because OJ's lawyer is like out there going full Trump. He's saying, calling Fred Goldman a plantation master. And trying to spin it like that, it's
come
wild.
On,
it's wild. Wow, like, he's like, well, his family is greedy, and he's a plantation master. He's eager to obtain a settlement money from that former NFL player during the Twitter. Like, it's
plot twist. His lawyer's white.
Right.
I have no idea actually, but that would be funny.
We'll see. His name is Malcolm Laverne, but we'll
see.
Black.
That sounds black.
But yeah, they and also beyond that, he's been wilding out in Vegas. Then there's like a rumor that like producers are trying to pitch a show where like OJ interviews Caitlyn Jenner.
Right. Because they're friends. They go way back. They were both like huge famous athletes at the same time in the early 80s.
And they have the connection with like he was friends with his ex-wife.
Right. And there's no better person to present the issues of transgender people than OJ Simpson.
Right.
Interviewing Caitlyn Jenner.
So we're always watching OJ, you know, the media might have forgotten, but we're watching you, man.
Don't let him get you down, OJ.
OJ is probably the most American story of all time.
That's,
you know.
Yeah, no, he really is.
The documentary made by Ezra Edelman is one of the better movies I've seen in the past 10 years. It's like, yeah, people that should automatically be taught to people in like U.S. history class now.
Yeah, yeah, no,
for
absolutely.
Sure. All right, so that's what OJ's been up to. We also just wanted to brag on ourselves a little bit. The Matt Lauer thing, one of our listeners pointed out to us on social media that we had called the Matt Lauer thing a little while ago. We got a clip of that.
Yeah, so we should let people know. This is from October 23rd.
Yes.
Of the 1023 episode.
And this is validating our thesis that if you pay attention to the tabloids, we do a weekly segment called the Bloid Watch.
Bloid Watch.
Where we look at tabloids because the tabloids have caught shit earlier than the mainstream media. And so that's what we were discussing. We had super producer Anna Hosnier on, and we were talking about what's going down in the Bloids.
I found a lot of stuff. One, apparently Megyn Kelly and Matt Lauer are in a feud, and one of them is getting fired. Now, if I were to put my money on it, I would probably say Megyn Kelly.
Lauer.
Yeah.
Wait,
do you think they would really fire Matt Lauer or Megyn Kelly? Matt Lauer has had a very problematic career. He's taking on strong.
Ooh, is he the next one?
I don't know.
Is he the next to...
Next domino to fall? God damn!
You've been geisted,
wow.
Lauer.
Geisted,
wow.
Motherfucker.
I mean, now there's two respected institutions that trust the tabloids. Daily Zeitgeist and the Men in Black.
Yeah, exactly. That's where we come from.
I trust both of them. I just saw Men in Black 3 over the weekend.
It's the MIB.
That's one of my original underrated. Men in Black 3 ties it together perfectly.
This one's eating my popcorn. That's a deep cut for y'all.
I mean, Anna's right here.
Right.
Oh, who's next? Tell us.
We don't know. We got to look in the Bloids. That's why tune in Friday or tomorrow.
You'll find out on tomorrow's Bloid Watch.
We'll see what we got.
For now, we are going to end this show. Binyam, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on all the things at Binyam Biz, BINIAMBIZ. You can also download the Postmates app, request something, you know, between 12 and 3 on the west side, especially if it's at Fat Sal's, I'll probably deliver it.
Oh,
I was playing, but there was a time several months ago where that could have been true. So you never know. I might log back in.
Hey, we're up, we're down, we're up, we're down, baby. But we're always going up.
Miles, where can people find you?
Oh, wow. Me, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, you know, where sometimes you can get an inside look at the show through my stories, at Miles of Gray.
You can follow me only on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us, though, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page that you can just search The Daily Zeitgeist. You can follow us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We just crossed the 1,000 follower milestone. And you can find us on our website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post episodes and we also post footnotes.
Footnotes?
Where you can see sources for all the shit we were talking about today. That's going to do it for today's episode. Miles, what are we riding out on?
You know, since Obinium over here said Sire is a slept-on album, I want to play the song that got me to think Jaden actually isn't that bad. It's called Fallen. And for all you old hip-hop heads, like that Neo Soul, like Dilla kind of thing, this is a good entry-level Jaden track.
Entry-level Jaden.
Entry-level Jaden.
You're not ready for the full course.
Exactly. No, this is Gateway Jaden.
All right, guys. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you then. Bye. Yeah.
Take me to the truth. Take me home with you. Change my taste in you. I'm falling, make me rise with you.
She likes you.
I'm surprised you do.
Vibrations make me levitate, sipping Hennessy, reading bell hooks, she just said,
I'm surprised you don't,
baby,
I won't lie to you,
I love you,
I'm your guy who's new, hide me from the blue, I'm dying.
Watching tulips grow, and when you walk, it's in slow motion, baby. Why you moving slow? And when you talk, I got my lasers on you like a UFO. Girl, your eyes are like the open sea, this simple poetry. This old generation, OMG, I see your soul is older. We should build a city overseas. This country kinda cold. I mean, they feed the children dopamine and leave them on the sofa. I mean, I need someone to announce with. Whoa, ice bucket challenge in the fountain. Whoa, chance of finding you one in 100,000. Whoa, whoa.
Spend some time with you. I might bend the rules, 'cause I'm in love with you.
Zeitgang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.